Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. As the minister said in the introduction, this is not our house, and we have to build a house of our own. Yes, so tonight's show is how weather is affecting our lives, food supply, and whatnot. You may ask, why are we talking or discussing the weather on the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show? Well, basically because weather is rapidly changing, and is rapidly changing our lives. And as we form communities, we have to keep in mind how we are going to mitigate the effects of the weather and all of its extremes. The extreme rain or lack thereof, the wind, the hurricanes. So we have seen for the last, I don't know how many years, the effects of extreme weather, and particularly the black community, and how we have suffered a lack of responsible and justice in terms of responding and getting our just solutions as results of us having being affected by adverse weather. So the black community is always the last one to get the poorest response with the least amount of funds for our services. So as we build our own communities, we can control how we react to adverse weather. We can control how we prepare for the changes in the weathers. We can decide how much funds and how much manpower to put towards preparation for adverse weather. So that is definitely an item that we include in our discussions for building our own communities and making our own neighborhoods safe. Because when we think of safety, it's not just our enemy or the police that are our corrupt police that are preying on our neighborhoods. Also, the weather. The weather affects our safety. If we're not prepared for the weather, we haven't put things in place, or there is not adequate infrastructure to accommodate our people, then that's our responsibility. And as we form communities, as we design communities, as we put services together in our communities, we keep these things in mind. So if anyone wants to discuss the weather and how it affects and how what we should do or keep in mind as we build our communities, go ahead and press the 1 on your dial as we wait for Sister Ann and Dr. Ridgely to come on the show. And Sister Ann is going to be the one that's going to be leading this discussion. So, once again, the Time to Leave movement, we have to take responsibility for our future. More and more we're starting to see that the enemy does not want to take responsibility for our future. He's showing that he's tired, as the minister said, he's tired of taking care of us. So he's pulling his services. He's removing his services. He's removing all the items that we have that have supported us for the last few years. So it's time for us to do for self. Time for us to move on. If you have any questions or comment, please press the 1 on your dial. The Time to Leave movement is for people, for brothers and sisters, who are ready to start building our own communities. We say we want to separate, but what are we doing to prepare for separation into a real nation, a real community, a real town or a city that we control? The mindset is a start, but once we have the mindset, we have to get together with like minds, and we have to start building. We have to start controlling. We have to start putting things in place. That's what we have to do. If we don't do that, then we're really waiting for a mystery God to do it. And we may say we don't believe in a mystery God, but our actions determine what we really believe in. If we're not putting things in place for that, then our actions show our belief. And we have a caller with the last 4 digits, 7359. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm from Lakeland, Brother Carlton. This is Sister Nyambe, Atlanta, by way of St. Louis. Yes, sir. Well, Brother Carlton, as we wait for Sister Ann to get onto the call, I'd like to ask you a question, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What would you say for those that may be listening and maybe thinking to themselves, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I want to separate, but I don't know what to do. How would you respond to that?
Well, first thing, my first response is, do you really want to separate? And so if you really want to separate, you start looking how you can prepare yourself and your loved ones to do that. And so, you have to have a picture in your mind how and where you want to separate. So some people may be, staying in your own town and trying to control an area of town. And you have to be realistic about that. If you live in a town that's being gentrified as mostly white people and the cost of doing that is very expensive, then should you stay there and try to do that? Or should you try to move someplace that's affordable? So that's basically how I respond. You know, what is your idea of separation, and how do you see yourself fitting in?
Yes, sir. Wonderful response. All praises due to Allah. Yes, sir. You brought up a good point when you mentioned, you know, one would need to ask themselves, or one would need to see themselves. I forget how you put it exactly, but basically that one would need to be able to see themselves separating, and you must visualize what that looks like. And I think that is a hindrance for some, that we haven't even made an effort in visualizing firsthand what separation looks like for each of us individually. So I think that if we take that first step, that will help us tremendously in at least beginning to think about what separation would look like for us in an effort to start moving towards the actual physical separation, which involves go ahead. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, let me ask you the same question. Just to, what is your vision of separation, and how do you see yourself fitting in?
Well, okay, if I may, I was going to kind of make a quick point, which will lead to my answer.
Go right ahead.
So, I think that most of us are pretty clear on this. Separation takes on two forms. One is we either move closer to the farm, or where some believers may have a farm, or we would make our own communities where we're at currently a safe and decent place to live. You know, we don't have to go outside of our communities. I know, you know, we know that there are affluent neighborhoods in every part of the country, and we can actually have communities that look like those. I don't think that we think that we can have that, and that's a huge problem. But what we must understand is that we can have it, but we're going to have to build it and create it. But for
yes,
me,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
For me, I am what I like to call, for lack of a better term, a food enthusiast. So for me, it is important that I be close to the food source, which is the farm.
Mm.
So that's what it looks like for me. For me, I know that Master Farah Muhammad's promise is true. So there's no doubt in my mind that we can create a heaven for ourselves. But to answer your question, for me, that involves living close to the farm, and that may involve buying a house near the farm. That may involve building a home near the farm. But either way, I desire to be where there are believers who are already involved in the process of ensuring that we not only have a safe and decent community, but that we have a food source and food supply that we can trust. And we know that there's no chemicals being used, it's non-GMO, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. So what influenced your decision to want to live close to a food source?
Well, because, as I said, I consider myself, for lack of a better term, a food enthusiast. So I take great pride and make great effort in knowing what it is that my family is consuming. So I found that what the food that is sold in the grocery stores that we feel so comfortable in purchasing, but that's not the case for me. I know that there's no security in shopping in their grocery store. It's becoming more and more challenging to find good, wholesome food that hasn't been robbed of its nutrients. I mean, the GMO is mixed in, so you have GMO mixed in with conventionally raised and mixed in with the organic. So that, and also just knowing that I listen to a lot of agriculture radio, and they talk a lot about on agriculture radio. And I mean, even just satellite radio in general, they talk a lot about what's happening with the crop. So we're coming upon a time where, oh, wow, Brother Clawson, let me mention this. I just heard on the radio, it was either today or yesterday, that they're talking a food shortage. It was yesterday. Food shortage in, I believe it was the UK, so Europe nonetheless. If they don't come to an agreement with the Brexit, they're talking food shortage. So when I heard that, I said, what we see abroad is going to make its way to America. So that too is one of the reasons that has led me to a desire to be closer to our food source.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing that with us. I'm thinking now, you know, you said you were able to listen to a lot of agricultural radio shows, and I'm going to try to bring us a little closer to our theme about how weather is affecting our lives and our food supply. And so have you heard any discussion on the shows, or have you read any articles on how the weather is affecting food production either in the U.S. or in the rest of the world? Because I know like in the U.K. or in Europe, they've had some of the hottest days they've had in history, and I'm curious how that might be affecting the food supply. And here, you know, we've had extreme weather. We've had flooding, like the Mississippi Valley has been flooded out, and they haven't been able to plant there. So, have you heard anything that would be that our listeners may be interested in hearing?
Absolutely. They talk about. Specifically, the talk has been about not being able to plant, you know, corn or soybeans. They talked a little bit about wheat. And Dr. Ridgely even talked recently about how in Sorrel County, farmers have mentioned that, you know, they plant peanuts, the seeds burn up. They plant corn, the seeds burn up. But, yes, they've talked a lot about the flooding and how it has prevented them from being, or, you know, the vast amounts of rain and how it's prevented them from being able to plant crops. They talked about the excessive heat and how that's prevented them from being able to plant crops. So although they're only talking about mainly, at least from what I hear, soybeans, which we don't eat, or corn, which – I mean, I don't eat that anyway, but when I think about it, corn is not just something that the masses consume. They use corn to make plastic and all kinds of things. Corn is
really
not just farmed for human consumption as far as eating, but it is a consumer product of which many things are made from. So that could have a huge impact. I also sometimes I like to listen to Bloomberg Radio, which obviously is not agriculture radio, which is more about business and investing. And they were actually making light of the weather, you know, because weather also does affect the commodities market, because obviously commodities involve things like soybeans, grain, corn, things like that. So, you know, they were kind of just joking about the weather, the excessive weather on Bloomberg Radio. So they're talking about it. You know, they try to act as if it's not a big deal, but it has gotten so bad as to where they can't ignore it anymore, because it is absolutely beginning to affect their crops, which ultimately affects so many different things, which leads to it affecting their economy as a whole. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. But it's definitely a topic worth, you know, doing research on, because it's inevitable at the rate it's going. And then we know that the weather is one of the tools that the Savior and Allah is using to bring the enemy to his knees. And if we know that that's going to happen, I mean, we're going to get affected, even if indirectly affected. And so it's really important that, you know, that we have as we prepare for these disasters and in communities. I mean, even if for those of us just speaking for weather, preparing for weather, even if you're not in a position where you're planning or able to physically move, at a minimum, you should be forming groups and buying clubs where you all can purchase products in bulk, you know, and prepare that way, and then have emergency plans. You know, that influenced me from getting out of the city. I used to live in a congested city, and I just took a good look at the neighborhood and the area. I said, what if there was an emergency and, you know, the store is closed now? And I said, well, you know, we can have food stored in our house, but that's not good either, because people would see that, you know, they either smell cooking food, or see that, you know, that we got food, or they know we Muslims and we got food, and everybody might come to my house and try to get the food. And what do? We say, no, you didn't prepare, so you starve. Or, you know, we say, yeah, we'll share with you, but, you know, we don't have enough to share with the whole neighborhood. And so that's one of the things that influenced my wife and I to start a buying club in our neighborhood, you know, because we wanted to educate people of the importance of being prepared. And that's, like, the best way. If everybody's prepared, then, you know, you can avoid disaster. Yeah. But still, ultimately, we're like, no, we want to get out of here.
Yes, sir. And that, what you just mentioned is vitally important, Brother Carlton, because there will be no, if people don't have food, there will be no, you didn't prepare, so you're going to starve. They will come, they will attempt to come in our home. So we would be wise to do as you and your wife have done and are suggesting, in doing the same, following your example, because I'm sorry, that's not going to be a reality. We do need to learn how to, I was going to say we do need to learn how to prevent, you know, cook in a way that prevent the smells and aroma from going outside of our homes, but still, they know that we talk how to eat to live. They know that we as Muslims talk separation. They know that we as Muslims talk survival. So they're going to come regardless. They're going to come looking for us. So as I said and you've mentioned, I believe it would be wise for us to make that in our neighborhoods to start kind of implementing that same model of the buying club and teaching our people how to store food. And there's so many ways. And, I mean, because we all have to eat, and for those of us that find agriculture interesting, I mean, we can turn that into a business, you know. So there's so many things that – and see, in that regard, you're not just – at least for me, it wouldn't be something that I'm just doing for money. It would actually be something that I enjoy. So that, and I'm sure it's the same for you and your wife. And so we have to begin thinking like this. This is how we build an economy for ourselves. We have to, there's food deserts in our neighborhood, and at least what they call food deserts. But, you know, in many of our neighborhoods, there are no grocery stores. And if we just went door to door with some of our own staple goods. And, I mean, it's just an idea. But there's so many ways that we can get this information to our people, that we can get food, good, healthy food, GMO-free food to our people, and we all benefit from it. So.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, there's opportunities in this preparation endeavor as well. You know, it's we need in a community, we need people just like yourself who have an interest and want to be able to disseminate information and techniques on how to prepare for adverse weather by preparing and storing our food in that area. Also, there's a need for emergency services. We need people who have emergency services, communications. You need to do communications. Some years ago, my wife and I got our FCC licenses, and so we actually can legally operate the ham or shortwave radios. Haven't done a lot with it yet, but we have the licenses, and just need to get some. Actually, have some handheld radios that are they're shortwave radios, and so that's the kind of thing we need to do, because when the power goes out, and the cell towers use power as well, then we have no way to communicate. But you have a shortwave radio, and you have a generator, you can talk to anybody within a large geographical distance, depending on how large your antenna is and the quality of your radio. So that's something we need. The medical services, you know, that's something we need. But, you know, it's just there's so many opportunities for us to pool our skills and talents to prepare, you know, our communities. And so, you know, we really miss out on building our communities by giving our talents, you know, to our enemy, you know. But if we would, you know, take time and try to get together with like minds, we can actually build these. So, Sister Nyamba, do you think you can try to contact Sister Ann?
Sure, yes, sir. Sure. While I do that, I want to just reiterate something you said about the communication and how you and your wife, I think you said you got your certification.
Yes, ma'am.
For the ham radio. So that is so important. I mean, because even now we can see that there are problems with the cell phones. Calls are always dropping, or they won't go through. Mm-hmm. Or so that need is so very important, and it's a real need.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, and that's something I've known about it for years for the call center, but I haven't done anything with that either. So I'm glad that you're bringing that up. But these are the kinds of things that we must bring back into focus and as a community.
Yes, ma'am. We have a caller. We have somebody who wants to make a comment. Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 2122. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Carlos. I am I'm currently in Kansas City right now working. But it's a lot of stuff that y'all talked about that I want to say something about, starting with the cell phones. Now, if you're in a city, it'll be worse trying to make a call on a cell phone because there's more people. And the more people that's trying to access a tower, the worse off it'll be, especially during a time of an emergency. So if you're out on a farm, there's less people, you know. So all your calls and all your internet and all your texts will go through if you're out far on a farm. And I agree with the sister, you know. A farm is better, you know, because you're not in a city during all that chaos. But the thing with a farm is if you're growing food, then you have to protect that food because people can easily hop over your gate and just start snatching your food and feeding themselves, you know. And then on a farm, you can have your animals. You can have milk. You can have a school for the children, you know. And the biggest thing is you're away from all the chaos, you know. And the sister was mentioning the soybean and corn. You know, I done been over so many farms across this country from coast to coast, and that's all you see. On one side of the road is corn. On one side, the other side is soybean. Now, that corn, it only has one or two corn on it. So that's not real corn. You know, that's corn that they're using for fuel and that high fructose corn syrup stuff, you know, and food and oil that you cook with, you know. And it's like, you know, when it turns yellow, a machine, it comes by and it scoops it up and it blends up the whole thing, the stalk, the leaves, everything. And it puts it in a big truck, and that truck hauls it off. But, yeah. So the thing is, I think living on a farm would be better, but you need people to protect it.
Yes, sir. Well, you made some good points, brother. I'm glad you called in. Did you want to address any of the brother's points, Sister Niambe? Okay, she might be trying to contact Sister Ann. Yes, sir. So, Brother Carlos, I want to thank you very much for those points. But I tell you, the only thing about being out here in the farm, I live out here. I'm 7 miles from Muhammad's farms, and you will get good cell phone reception, but there's no, except for the fact that there's no towers near us. So my cell phone doesn't work hard very well at all out here because we're so far away out in the country, there's no towers at all. But thank you very much for the call, Brother Carlos. Sir?
So I was about to say that's another good opportunity because since there's no tower, more than likely when they expand, they'll come to your land and want to put a tower on there, you know, and those cell phone companies pay from like $1,500 to $5,500 per month, you know, the lease. So if you have all four of the big wireless carriers, you know, you potentially making $22,000 a month. You know, so that's another good thing about having a lot of land.
Wow. Yep. Got to keep that in mind. But thank you very much, Brother Carlos. And we got some more callers. We got, looks like we got Sister Ann, like she's on now, and we also look like we got Brother Gerald. I'm gonna open up Brother Gerald's line. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Gerald and Sister Ann.
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I am well by the grace of Allah. I'm glad you called in and hit that one. Have you been able to hear any of the shows so far?
Yes, sir, and I'm enjoying it, and we really, really appreciate what you're doing. And also, we want to thank Dr. Risley and also Sister Ann for all that they do. Trying to feed black folks is not an easy thing to do. But I wanted to share a project that we're working with here in the state of Mississippi. What we're doing is can you hear me okay?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, yes, sir. What we're doing is we have a farm. A brother has a farm that's I think he's sitting on 40 acres, and what we're doing and it's centrally located in the state of Mississippi, and so the study groups that are surrounding that are the other study groups in Mississippi are feeding from that farm. Now, we're not getting 100% participation as of yet, but this is a work in progress. And the concept is to support and to feed off of this particular centrally located farm and also to supply labor, rotate labor in and out on a routine basis so that we can get the training in so that we don't overtax the farmer whose land is being used. Now, that's been working pretty good.
Man.
Pretty good. But what we're looking at doing now is to offset that labor is to get us some good equipment. And so the way we're the concept that we're thinking about working with now is to get some equipment for that centrally located farm, but not to just let it stay there at that centrally located farm, but also be able to rotate it to other farms in the state. that's closer to these study groups that we have. So that's one of the concepts that we're working on now. And, of course, we'll have the one centrally located farm, but we also need these other satellite farms to be up and running also. And and it's a beautiful thing to be working with the believers, and not that we're excluding the lost found, but mm-hmm. we're dealing with people that are bound by law, you know. Yes, sir. But that's one of the
wow.
projects that we're working on.
Man, that sounds exciting and encouraging, Brother Joe. That sounds like to me, that's depending on your schedule. That sounds like a show in itself. But no pressure. But that it sounds exciting. So what we're gonna do right now is I'm gonna leave your mic open, Brother Joe, so if you want to make any comments, and I'm gonna go ahead and invite Sister Ann on because she's going to be our lead spokesperson for the theme of tonight's show, how weather is affecting our lives. So, Sister Ann, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
You got it, sister.
Okay. Well, you know, weather affects us on the farm in different ways. Sometimes it can be good, the rain and the lack of rain sometimes can be good. As a matter of fact, we experienced it last year with our watermelon. We had a bumper crop last year because we had abundant rain, and we thought we were not going to have sunshine enough to produce a crop. But then the sun came, and it resulted in us having abundant and big watermelon. Whereas this year, it was just the reverse. And the weeds, you know, just take over. So we didn't have as much this year as we did last year. But, you know, what we had was good, and we were not able to, you know, service as many people as we did last year. But all in all, it's been a good year. We experimented this year with electric fences around a big portion of the farm, and it covered all of our watermelon, and it was good. It kept the deer out. As a matter of fact, they started coming closer to the house. I was trying to have a raised bed garden close to the house, but I figured, you know, I might as well give up on that because last year they just tore up everything. They just tore it up. And this year I didn't plant this year because, you know, I figured, well, with the animals not being able to get to the field that they wanted to, whatever I put out there, they were going to just have at it. And I could see evidence of them making paths through. But now the good thing about this is I love the way that they are clearing the undergrowth through the trees. Now that's one good thing about them. But then, you know, the bad thing is they're taking your crop. Yeah. So you give up one thing and think it's good, and before you know it, were you saying something?
No.
Oh, I heard something. But all in all, it's been a good year. It's been a good year. and we can't complain too much about the weather. And, you know, I've learned that it does not help to complain. You just roll with it. So that's all I'm going to say at this particular time.
And Dr. Ridgely, your mic is open if you want to comment.
Well, I don't share the same sentiments as Sister Ann over rolling with the punches with the weather. I mean, yeah, you have to roll with the punches with the weather, but it don't mean that you just say, oh, well, because this is what bothers me, is that this inconsistency of the weather causes an inconsistency of the crop, and you can't plan for the future, and you have to, you know, suffer the consequences. Now, what the enemy does, he uses chemicals. Now, if we were able to use chemicals, we could have reduced the control of the weeds. We could control the weeds better. Now, last year, like she said, we had the rain, and when we were able to plow right up until it started raining, and then it started raining that we plowed all day and night because we knew the rain was coming, so we didn't know how long it was going to be, but we knew we had to get it done because we know that the vines are going to start growing across the field. So the rain came, but then it rained every other day for 2 weeks. And so our vines really took off. And then when the sun came, the weeds were already covered over by the watermelon vine. So the weed seeds did not come up. They were smothered out by the watermelon vine. Now this year, it was just the opposite. When we had the rain, we had 100, this year we had 100 plus degree weather for a number of days in May, which stunted the growth of the watermelon vine. And then when the rains came, the weeds germinated and took over, and we only got a tenth of the watermelons that we got from last year. We didn't even plant peanuts this year for a number of reasons. Peanuts are a good crop to plant for cash and also for rotation, because When the peanuts vines, when they take over the field, it smothers out the weeds the same way the watermelons do, but it also produces nitrogen for the next year. So we didn't plant the peanuts. Now we didn't plant corn, and we haven't planted corn. Field corn in a number of years. And the reason being is that since we don't use GMO, Roundup Ready corn, you can plow the corn, but when the corn gets to a certain height, you can't plow it anymore because the tractor will knock the corn down. And what happens is, with farmers who use the Roundup Ready corn, when they spray, they can spray that from the air if they have to. And the Roundup Ready kills everything else except that corn. So the farmers who use the GMO corn can get a crop because they don't have to worry about weeds. Whereas we can plow with the equipment, but when it gets to a certain height, we can't get in there, and it's always, every year, is those weeds that come up at the end of the season that snuff out the corn so that when we harvest, we don't hardly get anything. The same problem happens with the navy beans and the black beans because we don't want to use chemicals. You can plow up to a certain point. And like with the navy beans and the other dry beans, you have to let them dry down before you harvest them. And while they're drying down, you can't bring equipment in there because you knock the beans out of the hull and they fall on the ground. You can't get equipment in there after they get a certain point. And again, it's those weeds that you can't get out. Now, of course, we invented agriculture. And what agriculture is cultivation. And cultivation was done by hand or with a hoe for millions of years until the last 50 to 60 years they come up with these chemicals to replace labor. But then we don't want to use the chemicals, but then we don't have no labor because people don't want to come out here and do this work, even if you pay them. So we just stopped doing field corn. We stopped doing the dry beans because we can't get nothing out of the crop because we can't fight the weeds and the weather. Now, this year, a couple of days ago, I posted on my Facebook page. I talked to a farmer, and he did try to plant peanuts this year in May, but they got burnt up. The seeds got burnt up. He tried to plant soybeans after he couldn't get the peanuts to grow, and the soybeans burnt up. He tested, he went out and he got a thermometer to test the soil and found out that the soil was 128 degrees. The soil temperature was 128 degrees in May. The soil temperature was 128 degrees in May. This is highly unusual and highly destructive. So neither one of his crops came up. He had irrigation. He said that he had a circular pivot. And we don't have a circular pivot. We have a couple of irrigation guns, hard hoses that pull through the field. You got to move the irrigation set up to another area. You can only do 7 acres at a time. Anyway, he had a circular pivot, but it was so hot that when the pivot went all the way around, by the time it got back to the beginning, the first area of the field that he had irrigated, it turned to dust. That's how hot it was this year. In the Mississippi Delta area, they didn't plant this year because of the flood, and they won't plant this year. I mean, won't plant next year because of the flood. Only 40 to 50% of the soybeans and corn have been planted in certain of the Midwest grain belt states. Only 40 to 50% were planted. They were suffering from the flood from last year, and many of the fields were not harvested last year, and those that were, they tried to store the corn, and the water got in and busted up the corn, busted up the grain bins. So what we're going to experience starting in the fall and winter, you're going to experience the price of food going up. And now corn and soybeans, so we don't eat soybeans in the nation and not field corn. We eat sweet corn, but it goes to meat. Most of it is fed for the cattle. And so meat prices are going to go up. chicken is fed from soybeans and corn, so is lamb, so is beef. So we're going to see the price of meat go up. And you have the price of vegetables go up, because when one thing goes up, the other things also go up. If we have another year of bad weather, and the minister said, watch the weather. If we have another year of bad weather, ain't no telling what's going to happen. And we're probably going to have another year of bad weather, because Minister Farrakhan said, watch the weather, because Allah is angry with the white man, and he's angry with us, because we have yet to separate. We have yet to go back to the land. We talk about it, but we're not doing it in mass. We're moving back down south, but we're moving into the city, like Atlanta. You know, we're still not moving on the land. We're moving south, which is good, but we're still moving back on concrete with a few trees in between. And you're not going to be able to feed yourself on concrete, even if you put down a few raised beds. There's not enough land in the cities to feed everybody. It's good to have some raised beds or to have some gardens, but that's not going to feed everybody, because what you eat mostly are your dry beans and your bread that comes with flour and your rice, which you can't grow enough of that in the city. You have to have large acreage outside. So with people unwilling to grow and work on a farm, Allah is going to shut it down to kill a few people. Maybe we get the message, because the enemy is already killing a lot of people with the poisons that he's injecting into the food system, and he got a whole new set of poisons that he is developing to trick you and to put you to sleep quietly. So Allah is kicking up fuss, making a mess, so that maybe he wakes us up as he kills a few, enough to wake us up. There's going to be a need. There is a need for more people on the land. We've been tricked into the cities, and we love to be there now. And now the enemy is poisoning us. I mean, just look around you and see how many people are fat and out of shape. Black folks look like white folks used to look. Now everybody looking like pig. They must be slipping pig in our food, and we sure looking like it. So anyway, I don't have a good report on the weather and the effects of the weather the way Sister Ann did. I don't like being burnt out. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. So the call for me to comment.
Please.
Okay. You know, I just wonder if how seriously we're taking the things that Dr. Ridgely is saying. I mean, we're dying. Do we see how the Muslims are dying? Before I've heard believers talk about how at one point, even in Farrakhan, the Muslims didn't die. The Muslims are dying in vast numbers. And they are, in fact, they sneak in pork and everything, and we're eating it. They put pork in everything, from ice cream to cheese to crackers, everything that you would think that pork would be in, but we don't know what the names of those hidden pork byproducts are, so we're eating it. So we don't know what it is. And so I just hope that we're listening to what he's saying and taking heed, because this is real. There's going to be food shortages. We've been told that there's going to be so little food that we'll be looking at our own babies to eat them. I mean, do we think this is somewhere off in the distant future? We're dying now. We're being poisoned now. And I guess because we don't take the time to know what they're putting in the food, we don't take the time. We think because they say something is vegan and soy-free, that they're telling the truth.
I mean, we take this enemy for a freak, like, because he says something that he's telling the truth. He's a liar and a murderer. If he says it's not in there, I'm apt to believe it is in there. If he says, no, it's soy-free, no, it's soy in there, he's lying. That's my attitude. So I'm not going to consume it. But even still, even with those of us who have, who consider ourselves to have very strict diets and eat simply as the messenger said, still, we cannot eat out of their grocery store. We cannot keep going to their hospitals. They're killing us. I posted a video on my page of a doctor admitting the racist things that he says. He is an ER doctor. We cannot keep depending on these people. I mean, this is really to the point of insanity. So that's all I have to say. Thank you for the call, sir.
Yes, ma'am. That's plenty. That's plenty. Any comments? We're down to the last 3 minutes or so, and we're going to get ready to wind it down. Anybody have any closing comments, last-minute questions or statements?
Yeah, are we going to have a guest on next week? I think we're supposed to have, is the Minister Ava supposed to be on next week?
Yes, Inshallah, she will be on next week. We will confirm it this week. I'll actually confirm it and see if I can get it confirmed in just a few minutes. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Well, that would be great, and hope we can post that up and let people know about it. Cause I know that the people will be glad to hear from Minister Ava, because she's going around the country in this separation, having these separation conferences or town hall meetings, and I would like to get her feedback on what she is hearing, what she's feeling about whether we're ready to separate or not. So, inshallah, next week we should have a great program. So tell your friends that Minister Ava is supposed to be our guest on Time to Leave for next week.
Praises be to Allah. So you all heard it first on tonight's show. So go ahead and set your cell phone alarms and your tweeting and your Facebook inboxes and let everybody know that Allah willing, we'll have Sister Minister Ava on Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio. So once again, we want to thank everybody for tuning in for tonight's show. And Allah willing, we will look forward to having you next week. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. But Lord, I ask you to be my force and truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast eyes burst into rhythm. Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me.